some stories you might find inspiring, others heartbreaking. All, I expect, will make you uncomfortable, at least at points. But that is something that good history and good storytelling are wont to do. So we'll open our time today with a story about Pompey Fleet. It is a story that traces its origins to a fragment in the archive, a newspaper advertisement 2 paragraphs long. I started with this advertisement, which describes a man who, in Boston in 1774, broke out of jail. The jail here is called the Bridewell. From this advertisement, I worked to build the story of a life. And I'm going to share with you that story. When Pompey Fleet was born in the year 1745, his mother Venus could scarcely have imagined the course that her child would chart in life. Pompey would grow up to escape slavery, and then, faced to his British allegiance in the American Revolution, to escape North America altogether. Ultimately, Pompey would return to the continent from which his ancestors hailed, Africa. Along the way, he would become an accomplished craftsman, but this part Venus might have expected. Pompey's father, a man who went by the name Peter Fleet, was a gifted woodcut artist who helped run the printing enterprise of Thomas Fleet, the man who held the family in bondage. Peter would train Pompey and his younger brother Caesar in a bustling shop located just steps from Boston's State House. The boys were, in the words of one onlooker, brought up to work at press and case. That is, they were brought up to use printing equipment. And they became highly capable as print hands. So capable, in fact, that when their father and enslaver died, one after another, in midsummer 1758, the shop was able to chug along without interruption. Pompey was just 13 at the time. Caesar, 10. Pompey came of age in that print shop. Stooped and ink smeared, he worked from the gray of dawn to evening candlelight, setting type, inking it, and pressing sheets of paper onto it. Days bled into each other, one to the next, like the ink on a page. But not Mondays. Tasked with delivering the past week's news to all the readers in town, Pompey experienced on Mondays the freedom of the streets rather than the confinement of the shop. The young printer traversed every inch of Boston with his papers in tow, making his way from Captain Greenough's shipyard in the town's north end to Windmill Point on the town's southern tip. Not surprisingly, Pompey became acquainted with Bostonians of all sorts. As his enslavers put it, the man came to be well known around town. Taking advantage of his Monday independence, Pompey began to cultivate a relationship with a woman named Chloe Short. Over time, their relationship became serious. In 1773, 15 years after his father's passing, Pompey, who was still enslaved, and Chloe, who was free, filed with Boston's town clerk an intention to marry. But an actual marriage did not follow the intention. At least, there's no record that one did. Pompey's enslavers, Thomas's sons, appear to have thought little of Chloe. Did they try to stand in the way of the union? Possibly. Something, at any rate, brought Pompey into intense conflict with the Fleets around the time his relationship with Chloe was blossoming, and his enslavers responded harshly. They committed the man to Boston's Bridewell, a prison-like institution in town. Pompey, though, was not so easily subdued. He managed to escape from the Bridewell, and his enslavers, incensed, advertised for him in their newspaper. "Lately broke out of the Bridewell," they wrote, "a sturdy, well-set Negro fellow, about 27 years of age, well known in town by the name of Pomfleet." Even though Pompey was well known, the printers described him carefully in an effort to ensure his capture. Pompey stood about 5 feet 6 inches high, and he had had the smallpox, the marks of which appear very distinct in his face, being much darker than the other parts of his skin, they wrote. Pompey was also well-dressed. Not only did he possess white breeches and stockings, according to the advertisement, but he had a black set of the same, and he carried with him a good dark brown coat. The printer's physical description of Pompey is most revealing, though, in the evidence it provides of the man's pride and sense of self-importance. Pompey's enslavers reported that he often has his wool dressed in the macaroni taste. Some black men in the 18th century combed their hair up, bunching it high over their forehead. And Pompey fused this inclination with an of-the-moment trend. The macaroni style emerged in North America in the 1770s when wealthy English colonists began to imitate the exaggerated pompadours of Italians, building the foretop of their toupees ever higher. Pompey must have been highly fashion conscious to incorporate the practice so